everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Pitched In NPL show. That's right, pre-recorded live in the middle of May. The season is as long finished now, but as we record this, everyone in non-league parlours and circles are very, very excited about non-league allocations, or as Berkey accused me of mispronouncing before, non-league allegations.
I didn't accuse you of it, Ben. That's what you said.
I meant allocations. But we've got together for one last time this season, just for a little post-season, I think they call it a wrap, don't they? W-R-A-P, just a little. They do that, don't they, in sporting circles. A wrap to conclude the season in a nice little bow, and then we'll send you off on your merry way into the summer. And before we close the show, we'll also have a little prediction as well for what's possible next season in the NPL Premier Division. Joining me for this special edition of the Pitching In NPL show, we're joined by the welcome return, and you've already heard him, dear listener, throwing allegations around about mispronunciations. It's Berkey. Hello, Berkey. How are you?
Hello, Ben. I'm tired.
Welcome. James Hayes is here, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James.
Hello from Costa Sale Saddleworth.
And a big welcome to Mr. Andrew Simpson, non-league reporter from the great county of Cheshire. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right. Although, is it Cheshire or is it the Midlands?
Oh, no.
That's a bit of satire for
yes.
you there.
Well,
I've just got Ian Hislop on the phone. He wants you to join Private Eye.
This happens every year, doesn't it? Simo, there has to be lines drawn somewhere. And you, as a follower of Witten Albion, you're more than aware of all these fun and games that happen.
Yeah, it happens every 2 or 3 years. But yes, it's lateral movement season. They could have come up with a better name for it, couldn't they? A sexier name might have sold it better to people than kind of lateral movement. It's quite dry, isn't it? Maybe that's the part of the problem.
Simo, you need an acronym. LMS will do it. The LMS Cup. But who are the losers?
Well, that's it. Map makers, generally. But anyway, just to say, we'll come to the makeup of the Northern Premier League shortly as well. And we'll also be catching up with a couple of pundits who've been joining us week in, week out during this season, as we'll be joined by Thomas Feeney and Mark Carruthers and Andrew Snaith later in the show as well. But let's come to you, Simo, because winners of the playoffs in the end was Warrington Town. We've not spoken since really about this. I mean, the team who finished second winning the playoffs, will it ever catch on?
I mean, unless, of course, you are a supporter of Bamber Bridge, and I totally get that, you need to have a heart of stone, I think, to begrudge Warrington finally realising their dream of making it up to the National League North, as we've discussed on previous shows. It's been a long time coming, and they can finally kind of shake that unwanted title they had of the only team ever to win the Northern Premier League Premier Division playoffs and not get promoted from that ridiculous super playoff season we had a few years back. So, I mean, it's a great moment for them. It's a great moment for the club. I think Mark Beasley and the chairman, Toby McCormack, have both kind of reiterated in interviews, haven't they? They feel that kind of they've took the long way around, but this is a little bit of justice. This is what kind of they should have achieved a few years back. And I think it's really exciting for them to see now how they kick on from here. It's a big challenge going up to the National League North, but one they're very well equipped for, I would say, certainly on the field. So good luck to them, and I think it's a great story that they finally got over the line.
And Berkey, commiserations to Bamber Bridge. I mean, what a season they've had, ultimately. But just missing out essentially with not too far off the last kick of the playoff season.
No, exactly. It'd been the surprise package of the season, hadn't it? Which seems a bit strange to say, I suppose, considering they had a really good campaign the year before. But I think the general consensus was that they were going to just sort of settle into mid-table, really, this season just gone. But they didn't. They just excelled themselves. They were great, absolutely brilliant to watch. They had a few odd results, which is why they finished on a -1 goal difference, despite being in third place. It was an odd one. But overall, acquitted themselves brilliantly. And, you know, they'll fancy themselves to be up there again next season. It's whether they can keep the band together, really.
Just touching upon Warrington Town more generally as a club, Simo, you've already mentioned it, but they are certainly well-equipped to compete in the division above. We send Toby, Mark and Dave and all the coaching staff and all the players our best wishes for next season.
Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. I'll certainly be keeping a close eye on how they get on. I mean, the teams that have gone up last season have acquitted themselves really well in what's a really difficult division. So Warriors will be looking to kind of take a leaf out of the books of Scarborough and Buxton and really establish themselves at that level. They don't want to be coming back down. So I'm sure like survival will be the objective next season. But I think they can aim higher than that. Some of the signings they've made towards us in the second half of this season, we mentioned about Connor Woods, who's done well at that level for Southport. They've started to gear up for that level with some of the players that they've got there already. So exciting times for Yellows.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting as well that the player who swept the Player of the Year awards, it was Evan Gumbs. You know, they've got all this excitement going up top, strong as you like in midfield, but it was, you know, manager's player of the season, player's player of the season, centre-half, just keeping everything ticking over at the back. And yeah, it's thoroughly deserved as well.
And National League North for them next season, joining South Shields. And I'm just looking at the allegations for the National League North for next season. Just a little joke there from early in the podcast. Rewind it, but that allocation looks okay. Such northern strongholds as Gloucester and Kingsland Town for Warrington and South Shields next season. Not as bad
Bishop
as when
Stortford as well.
Oh yeah,
Bishop
yeah.
Stortford are in there.
Not as bad as when FC United were in that league. Lowestoft away was one of the games that season. But obviously Warrington Town. Congratulations to them. But big congratulations to South Shields. Some managerial changes as well since we last caught up with the club. Kevin Phillips departing. Julio Arca coming in to the hot seats at Mariners Park. And let's have a little catch up now with the mood at the club as they head up to step two for next season. And it's a big welcome back to the show now. It's a football writer from the northeast of England. Here's Mark Carruthers. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and squeeze us in during a busy period with Gateshead through to the trophy final, of course. But we've got you on to discuss the Northern Premier League's northeast contingent, starting off with South Shields. And obviously, in post-season, Kevin Phillips departed, Julio Arca back at Mariners Park, but it's been a cracking season overall.
I think without trying to underplay what was achieved, of maybe it's a case of a goal being hit, really. You know, ever since they came into the Premier Division, the aim was to go through and go into the National League North this year. I think we spoke before about the fact they were favourites, but you've still got to live up to that tag. You've still got to, you know, realise the potential that you've got. And I think there was just something a little bit different about South Shields this year. They seemed a bit more steely. There was just a bit more steel about them. They weren't as easily knocked over as I think they have been in previous seasons. I look at people like Gary Liddell coming in. I think he's made a major impact. Martin Smith as well. You know, just giving them a bit more discipline, maybe, and the fact they've gone to places and ground out wins instead of trying to play teams off the park. So since the season's finished, it's been eventful. And now it's on to Julio to build on that.
We've had Julio on the show before because he was a great servant for the club on the pitch. Yeah. What's your expectations for what they can do next year in the National League North now?
Well, I've known Julio for about 6 or 7 years now, and he's always been knowledgeable about the game. He's always loved playing and coaching as well. He was involved at Sunderland's Academy. However, this is his first managerial role, so it's very much a sort of wait and see, I guess. The biggest thing I think that the club have done is getting an experienced number two in alongside him, Tommy Miller, who was at Spennymoor as Jason Ainsley's number two and then took over when Jason stepped down last season. So he knows the league, he knows the area as well, which is crucial. So, you know, Julio, I think we'll see an attractive style of football again, but for someone who came to the Northeast as a, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, a flashy sort of winger, Julio's got a lot of grit and steel about him as well. So I think you may see a bit of a mixture in a Julio Arca managed team.
Sending our best wishes to Julio and to South Shields and in the next chapter at the club. But for you, Mark, I've just been looking at the map of the Northern Premier League for next season. There's only one team left, really. Obviously, Mask and Whitby a bit further down the coast. But at step four, loads of teams in the East Division from the Northeast. We'll come to them in a second. But
is this your way of saying you don't want us anymore?
No, that's how it comes. No, not at all. But what do you make of Morpeth Town? Because Craig Lynch, when he came in, they just run out of legs, didn't they, towards the end a couple of seasons ago. This past season, though, it's kind of like they were just missing a couple of elements. And if they had those elements, then they possibly would have done a lot better.
I think despite staying up, I think the last season can only go down as a bit disappointing for them. I look at what they achieved the year before when, as you say, they just ran out of steam. And this year just hasn't quite hit the way we thought it would. I think that there's a very talented squad there. I don't know what to expect from Morpeth this summer, if I'm honest. In terms of, I know that the loan players have gone back to their clubs, but there's not been a lot of talk about who may be leaving or any signings coming in just yet. But we should say that this season technically still hasn't finished, really, the non-league season. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. They will unquestionably want to challenge for the playoffs again, because I think the squad as it is should be good enough to do that. But it may well depend on what they can get in over the coming months.
And just to say about next season, what's your thoughts on the league more generally about this division next year? Because you've got, I mean, I was reading this list out before, but you've got Macclesfield, you've got Radcliffe, you've got Bamber Bridge, you've got Matlock, you've got Marine, you've got Hind, you've got FC, you've got Warrington Rylands. I've got a roll on everyone. You've got Worksop, you've got Workington. I mean, the whole league is just jam-packed with teams who've got either they've all got stuff to prove next year.
Well, you see all those teams you just mentioned there, every single one you can make a credible argument to say they are in the picture for promotion. You look at what's come up in the division. I saw quite a bit of Worksop last season in the East Division, and they are a very, very good side and very ambitious as a club as well. Obviously, there's Macclesfield. I just think, for me, it's just wide open. It's simple as that. And that's not me trying to avoid any sort of, you know, pinning my hopes on any club. It is a case of, I just think it could be a season of games that are really just about who turns up on the day and who performs better. I don't think, and this is probably a bit of a nightmare for people who are doing your weekly sort of predictions and previews, because it's going to be impossible, I think, to predict the outcome of what's going to go on.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. And I touched upon it earlier, but the North East contingent in the East Division as well, Asherton and Newton Aycliffe joining the league. We've obviously got Stockton Town, who, barring not getting promoted, had a very good year, as did Hebburn Town. Dunstan and Consett had their moments, and if results went a certain way in the second half of the season, could have found themselves in the playoffs as well. So those teams I just mentioned there, I mean, what do you think the prospects are next season?
Well, if I can focus on Dunstan, because they've been in the news recently. Obviously, Chris Swales has left his role as manager, and John McDonald stepped up from the number two. But we should say John is an experienced manager in the Northern League anyway. He had jobs at North Shields and West Allotment Celtic, so he knows what it takes to be the lead man. He knows the league now, so, you know, and John's a very good coach as well. So I think it's a good appointment. It's something Dunstan tend to do. They do tend to promote from within. I think looking at next season, Stockton and Dunstan and Hebburn will be there or thereabouts once again. I think they are three very strong sides already. They'll be improved, I've got no doubt, during the summer. It was nice to see Hebburn get some silverware when the Durham Challenge Cup beating Spennymoor Town in the final as well, which was a big moment for them. I think it's only the third time in the history that they've won the competition. Consett will want to improve on last year. I think they hit a weird patch where there was times when it looked as if they were going to push for the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they were looking over their shoulders at the relegation. So it was quite a nervy season at times for them. And the two new teams coming up, I think, you know, Asherton have got a lot of experience in that squad, and if they can hold on to it, they've got players that have played higher, they've played in the National League North and the Northern Premier League Premier. Newton Aycliffe's a really interesting one. It's a solid side that I think will do all right at this level. That's not saying I think they'll push playoffs, but I don't think they'll struggle. I think they'll just be a really solid outfit. So it is, you're right, it's really exciting for the region. It's something that's a long time coming. I've said this for a while now, that in the days of people avoiding promotion, for me, you should play at the highest level you can. And I think it's great to see the sort of northeast non-league scene now is a bit more of a wider scope rather than just being sort of Northern League and then two or three teams above them. So really exciting times.
Yes, absolutely. And Mark, just before you go, we do have to mention, speaking of exciting times, Sunday afternoon, Gates are taking on Halifax. A big deal, isn't it, this weekend? Are you off down to Wembley?
I am. There, so I've literally, as we're recording this, I've just got back from Gateshead's pre-Wembley media afternoon. So I've been speaking to a few people around the club. it's just a remarkable achievement for Gateshead to get there. And I look at where they were through, well, 4 years ago when they came close to going out of business. They were 72 hours from going out of business. Now they are back in the National League after being forced to be relegated, staying in the division despite the fact they're working with a, we'll call it a modest budget. I think it's probably the best way to put it. They've reached the FA Cup first round, which I know is only one win, but they still set up a big tie against Stevenage. And now they're at Wembley for only the second time in the history. It's their first ever FA Trophy final. So it's a massive occasion for the club. And it's come with a group of players that are, I know it's easy to say this, but they're just good lads. They're a good group. There's no egos amongst them. They're all in it together. And it's, I can't wait for it. I travelled down on Saturday and we're doing live commentary on the game, and I'll be covering for the Sunderland Echo as well. And I've got previews in the non-league paper this weekend. So it's just going to be just a great weekend for the football club, for people around it and the supporters who ultimately saved it from going under.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. Have a lovely weekend down in that London. And a big thank you as well for joining us, not just on this show, but throughout this season, especially doing the weekly fixture preview stuff. Much appreciated. Have a lovely weekend and catch up again very soon.
Yep. Hope everyone has a good summer and see you next season.
Mark Carruthers there, football writer from the northeast of England. And South Shields and Warrington Town departing. Let's go straight to the allocations then for next season and what the Northern Premier League looks like. And I have to say, Birkie, this division next year, this looks very tough.
Yeah, it always looks very tough.
But I think this looks really tough. Like, really, really tough. There's no gimmies in this one, I don't think, for either end of the table.
Yeah, but this season's been really difficult too. And I think it's competitive, and that's what you want from a league. You want the strength there to be in depth, don't you? You don't want it completely stacked one way and then lopsided at the bottom end. And, you know, you want the competition there. You look at last season, you know, there really weren't that much difference between the teams that got in the playoffs and the ones a little bit further down. Rylands, they were only 8 points off the playoffs. FC United only 5 points off as well. And so, you know, there were teams who were within touching distance. They just didn't quite get the runs together for a sustained period of time. And next season, I've absolutely no idea what's going to happen. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be an exciting season. But there's going to be everyone beating everyone. And it'll be fun and stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, very stressful indeed. Let me just tell you who's joining the division. Basford United in Ilkeston Town, they've won the Lateral Movement Cup, the LMC. they'll be moving over northwards in a kind of weird way to join us. And Simo, Basford and Ilkeston, you know, both clubs, you know, they've been at this level before. They're going to be adding something next year.
Yeah, and they've been in the Northern Premier League recently as well, so they kind of won't take very long to kind of get their bearings, I wouldn't have thought. They know a lot of the teams, they know a lot of the players, you know, a lot of the grounds that they're going to be travelling to. So it should be quite a smooth, quite a comfortable transition, I would have thought, in contrast to, say, someone like Bradford Park Avenue, who've not been in the Northern Premier League for quite some time now. So I think it's a smoother transition for the teams moving sideways in that respect.
Also joining us next season, another club with Northern Premier League credentials, Bradford Park Avenue. Let's have a little catch-up now with how the West Yorkshire contingent are looking heading in towards next season, with Bradford Park Avenue and Guiseley both in the Premier Division. And it's a big welcome back now to non-league writer from that part of the world. It's a big welcome back to the show to Thomas Feeney. Well, a welcome back to the show, Thomas, and obviously, plenty to discuss with Bradford Park Avenue joining the division for next season, Guiseley's prospects. But we have to start this bit of the show discussing the Yorkshire side of things just by talking about Liversidge. It didn't really happen for them this season. Commiserations to everyone at the club, but they'll be lucky to bounce back next season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, they had that run of form, and to go so near the end of the season with a chance of staying up showed what was there with the group. And obviously, they've been at this step not that long ago. They know what it takes to be successful with it. And I think in terms of the club, you know, it is such a lovely club. It's just you hope that they're able to kind of maintain all that and hopefully give it a good go in trying to go up automatically.
Yeah, it's a very competitive East Division, though, next year. Liversidge, obviously, the last time at this division, had a very, very successful season, to say the least, and they'll be hoping to repeat that next season. But one team from West Yorkshire departing, another one joining from above, Bradford Park Avenue. What's your thoughts on what's possible for them? Because there's been plenty of improvements at the Horsfall Stadium off the pitch since they were last at this level. A fantastic 4G pitch laid down there now. I mean, what's your thoughts on what's possible at Bradford Park Avenue? Because you've got first-hand experience of this. It's a tricky relegation, that, from the National League North back into the NPL.
Yeah, it really is. And I think for Mark Bower and his side, it will be such a tough one to take in that, you know, I know normally you look and go, right, you know, lower injuries, and that's an excuse a lot of teams use. But with Park Avenue, the amount of injuries they had, and they kind of just stacked up over the season, the amount of players that they had missing. And it obviously went down to that final day. There was that chance that they could do it. Obviously, they'd have had to have beaten the team that ended up being champions in AFC Fylde, but to take it down to the last day showed kind of what is there in terms of the group. And, you know, like you were saying, there'll be people who were at the Horsfall how many years ago, you know, before all these improvements have been made, and they've really put a lot into that and got really good relationships with nearby clubs as well. Plenty of teams from different sports using the Horsfall Stadium now, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because, again, it is that thing of, is there going to just be that mass clear out, or will Mark Bower be able to persuade players, look, there's a great atmosphere here, let's do it again and see what happens. But it is just going to be really interesting to see what happens.
Yes, I mentioned that experience you've had from going from the National League North into the NPL. Guys, they've had a weird season, because at one point it was looking like, oh, they're going to be competing. Then they weren't. Then Paul Phillips comes in. Then they certainly were competing at the turn of the year. And then they kind of faded away again. So, I mean, what's your expectations for what's possible at Guiseley next season?
Well, first of all, I've got a bone to pick with you, because I'm blaming you for all this.
Whoa.
The run of form was quite good. Did this interview a couple of months ago, and I remember you saying, I think Guiseley are an outside bet. And literally, from that game onwards, the form plummeted.
I've said this before. Here on the NPL show, I'm one of these... I'm not a proper journalist. I don't claim to be. I like to interview managers when they're winning. It's a much nicer interview. And therefore, I'd like everyone to get promoted. I'd like everyone to not get relegated. In the end, obviously, that's not possible, because I don't think the Football League pyramid could cope with that kind of level of positivity. But that's where I come to it from. I like everyone to win. So, yeah.
It was an interesting season, you know, obviously plenty of ups and downs and the changes that have been made. And now it's a case of Paul Phillips, you know, has made it clear he knows what he wants. He's identified who he wants. And now it's all about getting those players to put pen to paper when the contracts can be ratified and doing it that way. I think those last eight games could really, in the grand scheme of things, be a good thing, because it showed which players kind of have that mentality when the back's against the wall, they keep fighting, and which players maybe just weren't cut out for being part of a Paul Phillips side. So it's so early on, and, you know, retained lists haven't even been announced for some clubs. But I do feel like the core of Guiseley's squad could very easily be maintained, because, you know, Paul Phillips... Cam Mason, the goalkeeper, has already signed on. You know, there's players signed on. Jamil Ibel, who was one of the best centre-backs of the division, in my opinion, last season. So there's definitely a core of the group that could be kept on with contracts already agreed, etc., and signed. So, yeah, again, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But I really think this season coming is going to be the most competitive NPL Premier there's been in a long time, because you just look at you look at what Radcliffe are doing, you look at the signings Macclesfield are announcing already, you know, everything's not even been fully ratified yet, and the quality that's going to be in the NPL Premier, it's going to be a great watch.
To put you on the spot, we're not even in June yet, What's your prediction for next year? Who do you think is going to win this league? Because like you say, you've got Macclesfield, you've got Radcliffe. I'd imagine Bradford Park Avenue will be wanting to bounce back. You mentioned Geisler. Geisler, you could group in with teams who I think know what the formula is. They just struggled to get to it last season. So Geisler, FC United, Warrington Rylands, Hyde, the teams who did finish in the playoffs, Matlock, Gainsborough Trinity, Bamber Bridge. The teams who moved over, Ilkeston, for example, they'll be looking to compete, won't they? So, oh, and then there's the teams who didn't do so well, who you imagine will be wanting to do better. Ashton United, Mask, Morpeth, Lancaster. Yeah, good league. What's your prediction?
If I was going to go on the spot right now, I'd say Radcliffe. They've obviously already announced some signings, top quality signings for the NPL Premier. But I think the big thing for me is Johnson and Morley. They're now back where they know. They're back in the area. They're back with the players. And last season, Radcliffe had a brilliant campaign. You know, it's not like they've taken over a team that were languishing mid-table. They're taking over a team that were there or thereabouts right at the end of it for a playoff place. So it's one of those, though, you know, look, it would not shock me if Macclesfield just go, right, here are five incredible signings we're going to announce in a couple of days' time. It really wouldn't. So I think those are the two teams, if I was going to sit on the fence a little bit, but I would edge towards Radcliffe at this moment.
Great league next year, that's for sure. Thomas Fina, job well done, my friend, all the way through this season on the weekly previews that we've been doing. A big thank you for joining us throughout this season. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work as we approach the close season and pre-season, where the great return of the Trialist brothers in pre-season. Looking forward to commentating on their matches. I mean, how can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's at Thomas Feeney on Twitter. And here we go again. I can't wait. Honestly, I can't wait for the start of the season now.
Thomas Feeney there, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Now, James, let's just mention the three teams who are joining the division from below. Macclesfield, Workington, Worksop Town. Worksop Town and Macclesfield certainly have momentum on their side heading into this season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Worksop are going to have the opportunity to break an English record when they start in the Premier Division next year. Obviously, the 37 game on Beaver Street will begin again. 12 games to tie Arsenal, 13 to break it. Obviously, for Worksop and for Workington, a big exile's ended for both sides there. Being missing from step three for about 6-7 years, Worksop even longer than that.
I mean, just thinking then about Worksop Town, Simo, and there's a kind of there's a resurgence here of a Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire feel to the Northern Premier League that we've not had in a couple of seasons or so, with Ilkeston, with Basford, with Matlock, with Worksop Town, even Gainsborough, or just into the next county along. It feels a lot more balanced, this division, geographically. But Macclesfield, they've got promoted this year with plenty of chopping and changing with the coaching staff, but that didn't seem to have an effect. In the Premier Division, they're going to need a bit more stability, I'm going to suggest, to compete, even with the budget.
I think you're spot on. I think I will be surprised if anyone is installed above them as favourites, just by virtue of, like you say, the budget, the crowd, the setup there. They, you know, they're geared up to be playing at a high level. Obviously, they've got to climb up there step by step as the years unfold. But you're right, it's actually quite a significant blow for them to lose Neil Dans, who, for those who don't know, finished the season as head coach at Macclesfield, then has accepted an offer to go in as assistant manager at Tranmere Rovers. Now, there's some continuity in the choice to replace him, because they've offered the job to Mark Duffy, who was kind of working alongside Neil Dans in the tail end of the season during the running. And actually how they worked it is Dans was very often still playing before he picked up a hamstring injury later on, but he was actually playing most of the time. And Duffy went to the touchline and he was kind of directing operations from there, even though he also had a player earlier in the season. He may well sign on as a player again, but there is a little bit of continuity in the choice this time. On the subject of continuity, they're going to retain, I think, about a dozen players from the squad that finished the season, but they've left themselves some wriggle room, probably to bring in 6 or 7, I've no doubt, high-profile players. A little bit of surgery to do up front because Nicky Maynard has retired and Dan Sweeney isn't coming back, and Tom Clare has also been released. There's a little bit of work to do in attacking and waiting for them to unveil who's going to be up there with James Berry next season. But yeah, they won't quite want the turnover that they've had. And you're right about on the sidelines, we have quite a high turnover of players as well. I hope to be a little bit more stable, because I think they are going to find it much more of a challenge, even if they are installed as favourites. But there is still some work to do on that team. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they move and shake in the next few weeks with the signings that they bring in.
Speaking of managerial changes, James, Jono and Bernard are back as well.
Yeah, big appointment there for Radcliffe. It's two local lads coming back in. Bobby Grant, who did a magnificent job getting the club to the highest league finish overall in the Northern Premier League. But both managers, they've been at the club pretty much 24-7 since they've arrived. So, and they've already made their intentions clear with some of the signs they've made so far. Duxbury obviously making the move over from Wanton Rylands. Luke Navarro signing on for Jude Obio too. So the intention's definitely there for the club next season.
Maynard as well.
So obviously they've already got the intention set down. Interesting to someone who you can bring in, because again, they've got the contacts there as well.
Well, sending our best to Bobby Grant, as James pointed out there, highest league finish and the Manchester Premier Cup, of course, as well. But Radcliffe just missing out on the playoffs in the end. Let's just touch upon a few other clubs who were there or thereabouts with regards to the playoffs for this past season. Matlock Town, we mentioned the chopping and changing at the Moss Rose, but Matlock Town, they've had three managers this year, but still managed to finish fifth. With Mike Rovers having a pre-season, they should be hopeful.
Absolutely. I mean, they've given themselves a really solid foundation to build on, and were one of the form teams in the league in the last third of the season. Just ran into a rampant Warrington, didn't they, in their promotion playoffs semi-finals. And by all accounts, I don't think anybody would have stopped Warrington in the first half of that game. So it ended up just being a game too far. But to be fair, they probably just slightly overachieved from where they thought they might be to have made the playoffs for the reasons that you've mentioned, that Martin Cruthers was there. Third manager of the season. He's already getting stuck in, and we've seen some announcements from them, haven't we, about players that are being retained, players that have been offered contracts, and kind of he's already got to work and has a fixed idea of what he needs to keep them competitive next season. So I would definitely be keeping an eye on them, and I'm sure they'll have ambitions to be in the top five again come the end of the season.
And Gainsborough Trinity as well. I mean, Gainsborough have had a fantastic season, Berkey, but the chairman is obviously departing the club. So there is going to be a bit of transition there at the North Home. But the number of goals they've scored this year, they should be hopeful of having another good season next year. Fingers crossed for them.
Yeah, I think it depends really what goes on off the pitch. We just got to see how it plays out. If they can keep that squad together, yeah, they've got every chance, Ben. But it just depends on how things look from the budget side of things. And, you know, they were a great side to watch last season. Really entertaining. And yeah, the goals were flying in from everywhere, weren't they? They were top scorers in the division. And I don't know if they can get the home form and their away form to align rather than being completely and utterly lopsided again. Because it was the year before as well when they only won at home, didn't win away. But yeah, if they can get that consistency, keep it going, brilliant. But they've got to keep the squad together first.
Well, Gainsborough Trinity, obviously, they'll be hoping this past season will be a springboard into next year. But we could certainly say that about Radcliffe, who we've already mentioned, but FC United, Marine and Hyde United, Berke, all of whom can point to areas where they've gone, that cost us the playoffs. And then, you know, they can iron them out over the close season, hopefully. And Nick Spooner, you know, this has been a good year and he'll be hoping for a bit of a better year next year.
Yeah, if you look at it in the cold light of day, yeah, this should go down as a good season. But the position that Hyde United were in, you go back to the start of March, and it was nailed on that Hyde were going to finish in the playoffs, but they just fell away. Nick Spooner, he's released the retained list today. There's a lot of players still in negotiations with the club. There's only six that are definitely staying on for next season. So you expect there's going to be not quite a full rebuilding job or anything like that. He's going to be looking to bring a lot of fresh faces into the side. And of course, when you bring a lot of new blood in, it's a case of will they all meld with each other and be able to gel quickly. Time, as always, is going to tell. Obviously, Nick Spooner is going to be open for more of the same. He'll want the new look side to gel as quickly as possible. And, well, let's just see. Fingers crossed, though. Fingers crossed. Another season like this one, I think there'll be a lot of people very pleased at Ewan Fields.
And, Sibel, do you want to ask me about FC United? Do you want that responsibility?
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah,
Over to you.
So FC United obviously finished the season with quite a bit of momentum, and in Max Kane had kind of a revelation of the running. We all kind of speculated here about what, you know, what's life after Regan Linney going to be like. So how do you assess that now, a couple of months down the line, and the fact that they did find somebody who can score some goals?
It very, very impressive, wasn't it, the closing run of the season? But I think you could point to the 3 points being deducted, and you can also point to points being dropped against Liversidge, Nantwich Town, and losing home and away to Atherton Coles. You get those four elements sorted, and FC United would have been in the playoffs this year. So,
yeah, but you can say the same about a lot of sides, that kind of thing, can't you?
I know, but if you've got a team who could beat South Shields home and away in a season, but then lose home and away to Atherton Coles, then you know where you need to iron things out.
It's an attitudinal thing.
Yeah, I think so.
It's attitudinal a word?
It is now, Burke.
Oh, thank you.
It is now.
Yeah, you can use that at home, try it yourself in your workplace. What was the word again? What was it?
Attitudinal. But no, it is though, isn't it? If you can turn it on for those big games, but when the smaller sides come to town, it's like, you can't quite get up for it. You can't be having a team like that. You need them to be on all the time if they're going to play to the potential. And FC United, for me, they should have been higher than eighth place. They play some fantastic stuff. But
I think one of the other things is as well, I mean, there's an element of inconsistency there, but there was also an element of inconsistency with team selection. Essentially, there's been three different teams this year for FC United, which essentially FC United ended the season in a weird way with its traditional midfield of Griffiths, Potts and Ennis O'Donoghue, and that seemed to work quite well. So we wait and see. I mean, Simo, just to mention for Marine as well, what a season they had. Out of all the teams coming out of step four, they finished the highest and were phenomenal.
Yeah, and it was just that we discussed it a couple of times. It was just that really challenging running that killed them in the end, because they were very much in the mix, but they had a run of extremely difficult games. They had a couple of Tuesday night games, which were a nightmare, where they didn't pick up anything away to Matlock and Gainsborough. It just ended up costing them, although Berkey was talking about Hyde retained this. It's really interesting when Marine published theirs, was it last week? Last week. Probably a longer list of departures than maybe would have anticipated. I think Neil Young's been quite ruthless, which is really interesting. He's given therefore himself wriggle room to strengthen the squad. The spine largely is going to be there, but it's interesting that he feels that they need to make quite a few changes to get to where they want to, which I imagine for a club like them will be to challenge for promotion next season. So that'll be, again, he's going to be a manager to keep an eye on in the next few weeks to see how he makes the most of creating that room in his squad. Also, there's quite a few useful players on the market as a result of Marine releasing them.
And despite what I said there, Simo, about, you know, how good Marine were this season, they only finished 1 point ahead of Warrington Rylands. And Warrington Rylands, they've been on a journey this year, haven't they? But it felt like it clicked with Michael Clegg towards the end. So they too will be looking for a bounce into next year.
Yeah, although it's going to be a very different approach at Rylands next season. I don't think it's a secret that the budget is going to be smaller. They've got a great guy in the dugout to kind of manage that. And he's already set to work on that. He spent the last few weeks of the season, didn't he, kind of assessing who might stay and kind of what he wants to do with this. He's had a little bit of a run-up at it, and now he can really get stuck in. So I'm not quite sure, to be honest, on the back of that, where to peg Ryland's expectations for next season. So they were hugely ambitious when they first came up, but a big kind of change of approach there. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out on the field. But in Cleggy, you would back him to put together a competitive team.
That's the top half of the table. Let's have a little talk now about those teams who finished in the lower half and above the relegation line. And one of those teams was Whitby Town in the end, comfortably surviving this year, 6 points above Nantwich Town. And let's have a little catch up now with the Turnbull Ground. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Andrew Snaith. Well, Andrew, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. First is first, it's been a journey, I think we could say, that everyone's been on at Whitby Town. Definitely stuff to build on from the positive bits from this past season, where there's been quite a few at the Turnbull Ground when all's said and done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was obviously a nightmare start to the season. Whitby were rock bottom going in towards probably as late as November, December. Turned things around, particularly in February, where they had 5 wins on the trot, and that rescued them. And in the end, although they did leave it until the penultimate weekend of the season, Whitby did stay up. They've already announced that the midfielder Priestley Griffiths and the centre half Harrison Beeden, who goal scoring centre half, I think it's fair to say, have already signed back with the club. And I think they're kind of trickling out information on signings as things go, but they're hopeful, I think, of keeping most of the squad from the past season. Some positives to build on. As I mentioned, Harrison Beeden staying, and he's a really, really impressive young player. Impressed at centre half after signing halfway through the season from Brighouse in First Division East, he really impressed. And there's a few other good young players, and hopeful of maybe bringing in a couple of new signings as well. So reasonably upbeat Whitby without getting too carried away.
We should just touch upon Mask as well, because Cal Jarrett starting, then leaving, then coming back to see Mask over the line and safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously disappointment, though, for Mask fans that the Cal Jarrett isn't able to stay and take them into the new season. As we speak, no announcement on his replacement. That will be the interesting factor, I think, as to how Mask do, whether they can bring in somebody with sufficient experience and contacts to keep them competitive for this coming season in what, again, looks a very, very competitive NPL Premier.
When you look at it, Liversidge and Mask coming up at the same time, regardless of how Mask got there, at least they stayed up.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it's the old cliche, isn't it, when teams come up that, the place above the relegation line is a success, and as it showed with Liversedge, who I think actually finished above Mask in the NPL East the season when they were both promoted. It's an exceptionally difficult step up, and to be able to compete is a good effort, and I think they've done well. Cal Jarrett came in at a time where nobody was quite sure what was going to happen. It seemed to buoy quite a few of the players and supporters. They're obviously a hugely popular figure in the man that's taken them through the leagues from the Northern League Second Division to the NPL Premier, and managing to keep them up. For me, just looking at that forward line, for Boyce to score all the goals that he did in a team that finished 16th is obviously impressive. He'll get a lot of the plaudits, and rightly so. But you've also got somebody like Junior Mondao, who came in on loan from Spennymoor at the end of the season for those last few months, and a really, really good foil for Boyce up front with his direct running and movement. And I think that forward line is a big reason why they managed to stay up. Mind you, that said, it was the centre-half, Andrew May, who I think in 2 seasons or so at Whitby never scored a single goal, managed to score twice in one game for Mask. And I think it was that crucial point they got against Nantwich that got them over the line on that Tuesday night. So he I'm sure, became a bit of a folk hero at Mount Pleasant overnight. But it will be interesting to see who they can bring in over the summer. I'm sure they'll be desperate to appoint somebody as soon as possible so he can get into that transfer market, get hold of the squad, and get people sorted and organised ahead of pre-season.
Yeah, absolutely. Sending our best wishes to Cal Jarrett. Job well done this past season, and all the best for his next move, wherever that may be. Adrian, just while I've got you here, before you go off to watch the cricket and stuff over the summer, we've been discussing on this week's show just about the makeup of the league next year and how competitive it is. And it's going to be a brave man who makes a prediction on how it's all going to pan out, especially when you consider this show is in May of the previous season. I mean, that would be a ridiculous question to ask, wouldn't it? But what is your thoughts on next season? Who do you think's going to be the runners and riders? And just to let you know, you can't name half the league.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's the obvious one, isn't there? And I think all your contributors are going to say this.
But enough about FC United. Come on, move on.
of course. But yeah, Macclesfield, of course, will be the big fancied favourites. that's you know, after the way that they flew through the NPL West. We've seen it so often, haven't we? We've sat here and we've watched teams, the Phoenix clubs that have risen from nowhere, the new clubs, the rebooted clubs. You know, maybe in a few seasons we'll see Bury as well. And Macclesfield, it's a well-trod path, isn't it? We've had Chester, we've had Halifax, and most people, I would think, would expect Macclesfield to do the same. You know, they've got the backing, they've got the support. They should get through, but of course, as Sal Shields will tell them, that is no guarantee.
Absolutely. And looking forward to next season and what's possible, you know, Whitby, but not just that, just watching it unfold before our very eyes. Because, joking aside, we could name over half the league, I'm going to suggest, for who's going to be not just at the top end of the table, but certainly chasing the playoffs. I mean, this season has been quite remarkable, but next season, I think it's going to be another level.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's Worksop as well, of course. That Macclesfield did well in the NPL West, but I don't think they did as well as Worksop in NPL East. I think they were up by March, and they've got to be extremely, extremely tough opposition, especially with the goals that they score. The Tigers are back in the NPL Premier. Workington are back in the NPL Premier, and they're also going to be very tough indeed. Ilkeston are back, transferred across from the Southern Central alongside Basford, so they're going to be tough. I always like to, a little bit of a groundhopper, I like to look at where I haven't been yet. Managed to tick off FC United this past season, enjoyed my day. Atherton Collieries is one I need to get to, and another one is of course Macclesfield. But also I need to get to Morpeth, and I need to get to Warrington Rylands. So I've got four to get to, and that's probably going to be my lot, to be honest, this season. that's going to be all my four passes used up, but I want to get to those four grounds in particular, but I've not been yet. But yeah, it's a great lineup, and there's some really, really good side. I mean, Bamber Bridge, obviously, we saw them in the playoff final. They'll come again. They'll be strong again, I'm sure. And then you look at teams as well as the ones that I've mentioned that have come up, but also, you know, Matlock, a team that in and around the playoff positions got to the semi-finals. Guiseley with Paul Phillips, you know, are they going to push on again? Marine just missed out on the playoffs. It's a strong league. It is a strong league. You know, these predictions might just be rendered rubbish within weeks, but I'm looking forward to it, Benny. It should be as tough as ever.
No, good stuff. Well, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, on behalf of the listeners, a big, big thank you for all your efforts this season, certainly helping out with the fixture previews every month. It's been very, very helpful indeed. So have a lovely summer. We'll catch up again in the brand new season. But just before you go, not that there's any matches to cover in the next couple of months, but I'm imagining pre-season and that kind of thing, yourself and Paul Connolly will be making the odd occasional return. So how could people follow Whitby Town Radio and that kind of thing?
Well, watch this space. But at the moment, Whitby Town Radio, you can get through Twitter, through Mixlr. You'll have all those preseason games as well as the competitive stuff when the NPL starts again in August. It all starts with Whitby Town against Beverley Town on the 1st of July. That's the first preseason fixture. And no doubt you'll be able to hear that live on Whitby Town Radio from the Torbound Express Stadium.
Whitby Town Radio's Andrew Snaith there joining us on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Berkey, what's your thoughts on those teams who finished above the relegation line? Because this relegation race this past season, the question was, how many points did you need to survive? In the end, it was 47, which is very high.
Which is what I think I predicted it'd be about 47, didn't
it? There or thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah. I think you've got to say massive credit to Lancaster. They were struggling that first half of the season, always sort of in the mire with it, really. No one was beating them by much, as usual, but they weren't really beating teams back either. But the second half of the campaign, they really accelerated up the table, finished as mid-table as it's possible to be, in 11th place, scored 51, conceded 51. And I think they've got to be looking up the table, haven't they? Felly's done it again. He's got another team who he's getting a tune out of. And if he can carry on getting them to sing a lovely song, they might just be a bit of a surprise package for next season. But yeah, full credit to Lancaster. Stafford fell away, unfortunately for them. They were leading the table in August and September, remember when we were doing the shows back then, but they just kind of lost the way in the middle part of the season, never quite recovered. And
they finished quite well, though, Stafford, didn't they? They finished well, Stafford. There's something to take. They lost one of the last 10 or 11 games or something like that.
Yeah, they got back on an even keel with it. They were in danger, along with Ashton United, remember, at one stage, where we were speculating, oh, can one of these two possibly get sucked into the relegation battle? Obviously, in the end, they both hauled themselves away from it. But Steve Cunningham comes in. The clear-out that he had, the mini-clear-out that he had when he came in January, form picked up a little bit, and they have brought some absolute top quality in there, but they've not clicked yet. The pre-season gives Cunny a chance to really experiment, try a few different things. And we know there's going to be trialists here, there and everywhere, playing for loads of different teams throughout July and August. So let's see what happens with that. But I do expect...
I'll be honest, I've missed the trialist brothers. I've missed commentating on those games. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, that way. Timo, just I think we've got one last team to cover, really. That's Atherton Colls. I mean, sending our best to Brad Cook, who's now left his position at the club. He's only towards the end, they dropped perilously close towards that relegation line. But what can we expect next year, do you feel, from Atherton Colls?
The honest answer is I don't know. I mean, when Michael Clegg left Atherton Colliery, everyone kind of said, how on earth do you follow that? You know, he'd guided them up the division's promotion from the North West County League into the Northern Premier League. And then they took a little bit of a gamble, in fairness, to hire Brad Cook, who didn't have any, well, didn't have very much managerial
experience. It was at West Didsbury, experience. Wasn't it? West Didsbury was that.
Yeah. And had not been there very long. And yet it proved to be an inspired choice. But I find myself asking the same question. How on earth do you follow what Brad Cook has achieved there? Because let's have it right. For them to have survived year on year in the way that they have is an absolutely stunning achievement. Mm-hmm. And I think this year's been the hardest of all, as borne out by the league table. It went down to the last game of the season and they got that late goal at Stalybridge to stay up. And there was a 20-minute spell on that final afternoon when, in fact, they were in the bottom four. So you can't come much closer to being relegated than that. So that kind of gives you an indication of the size of the challenge. I think this is a really important appointment for them and they need to get it right. I think how I'd conclude is just kind of re-emphasising what an amazing job that Brad Cook did at Atherton Colls, and he deserves all the credit in the world for achieving what he did.
Obviously, commiserations to Nantwich Town, to Stalybridge Celtic, to Liversidge and to Belper Town. They go into Step 4 next season. The allocations for Step 4 have been announced as well. We are going to be doing some Welcome to the NPL shows. We've already been doing some interviews. Those allocations are available. You can see the league on the npl.co.uk. But as we'll cover off in those Welcome to the NPL shows, a big welcome to Avro, to Vauxhall Motors, to Ashington, to Newton Aycliffe. North Ferriby are back. Big welcome back to them, and to Willington Rangers, of course. And in the Midlands, we've got loads of new teams, haven't we? Rushden and Diamonds are back in the NPL. Anstey Nomads, Coventry Sphinx, Leigh Town, Quorn, Rugby Town, and to Warsaw Wood. And we will be having those Welcome to the NPL shows in the coming weeks. But I think we'll draw a line under this show now. I think we've covered off all angles. But just before we go, do I ask for your predictions or your favourite moments?
Yeah, go on.
Which bit? Favourite moments or predictions, Berkey? What would you prefer?
Predictions.
Predictions.
Favourite moments. Both.
All right, good. So if we're running out of time, I'll just do one, but let's do both for now. Berkey, what's been your favourite moment of this season, and who do you think are going to win the league next year?
My favourite moment of the 22-23 campaign was in January when Hyde United went to Broadhurst Park played out the most ridiculous game of football I think I've ever seen in my life. 4-4 draw, penalties, worldies, goals that shouldn't have stood, hitting the post, hitting the crossbar. Absolutely ridiculous. I loved every single minute of it, even though Hyde should have won. But never mind. what a game. What an absolutely brilliant game that was. It's always a good game between Hyde and FC United, but that one was the best of the lot. And like I said, probably the best game of football I've ever seen. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. As for prediction, who's going to win the league next season? Well, can we look beyond Macclesfield? Long way to go before pre-season and all that kind of shenanigans, isn't it? But early runners and riders, you know, you've got to fancy Macclesfield, I think.
Simo, your favourite moment of this season? Obviously, you've been watching a lot of Step 4 football. So, I mean, what's been your favourite moment this season?
I'll be greedy and say two quickly. Warrington finally doing it, I think, from this neck of the woods is a great story. So I'm made up for them that they've finally got promoted to the National League. And yeah, from this neck of the woods, I suppose it's like a collection of moments which morphs into one, which is the fact that in four attempts, the rampant Macclesfield failed to beat either of the teams from Northwich in the West Division this season. So that was that went down very well in this neck of the woods, Cheshire rivalries, and they didn't beat 18th for Northwich or Witton Albion in the games that they played against them.
No, cracking stuff.
However,
yes,
Macclesfield fans, before you start atting me, I do think, like Berkey, that they are favourites to win the title again next season in the Premier Division. So it's not all bad. You don't win in Northwich, but you still might get the title next season.
James, your favourite moment of this past season?
Well, the team that's going to win the league is the team that's going to give me the least amount of headaches in the next couple of weeks as we all start getting...
I honestly don't think they're correlated. I really don't. But anyway, go on.
Well, that's my prediction there anyway. But the best part at the moment, and as we always end the season here, is the fact that I had 4.4 million of you following the action from the trophy Saturday all the way through to Warrington winning the playoff final, including a million impressions online for the playoff final itself on the Monday.
Wow. It's impressive stuff.
That's amazing.
And for those wondering, my highlight was probably commentating on FC United's trip up to South Shields, not because of the result. Many South Shields fans got in touch that night. They couldn't believe how unbiased we were. Said, you're much better than that Hyde United lot. And that game was just a proper good advert for the Northern Premier League, regardless of who won it. It was just a brilliant atmosphere. Both teams going for it. It was like Berkey said, you know, the Hyde United FC United game was up there as a bit of a classic as well. But it's been a great year. It's been a good season. And we're not done yet. Like we said, we will be having some welcome to the MPL shows in the coming weeks. But Andrew Simpson, a big thank you for joining us this year. You've been a legend as always, and have a lovely summer.
Thank you. That's very kind. Thank you very much.
Birkett, you've been a legend too. You have a lovely summer eating vegan ice cream. Have fun.
Oh, thank you very much, Ben. You too.
James, you've done a cracking job this year. You have a well-earned rest, but not for too long. We've got pre-season. You're going to have to try and work out who all these trialists are that are playing in pre-season squads across the Northern Premier League in July and early August. So, but a big thank you for joining us this season, not just on these monthly shows, but week in, week out. Have a lovely summer.
No, I was going to say, I'm back at it now. About to send emails out, ready for the new season.
Good stuff.
It all starts again now.
Good stuff. And a big thank you as well. We obviously didn't hear from Luke Edwards. I thought it'd be overkill this week to have two people from 26-0 on the show. But Luke Edwards, he's been a legend all year doing, helping out with the fixture preview stuff, as is Andrew Snaith, Thomas Feeney, and Mark Rovers. A big thank you to all the managers who've come on the show. Big thank you as well to the other pundits who've been on the show, Paul Connolly, James Gordon, and Swampy for two appearances this season, including one tremendous one where he predicted Bamber Bridge would make the playoffs when he did the show back in August. So big thank you, everyone. A big thank you to you, dear listeners, as well, for joining us on these shows. But we're going to go now. Have a lovely summer, and you'll be here from us again very soon. You take care. Bye-bye.